You can choose the sin. You cannot choose the consequences.
Dr. Tony Evans explains why you need to make wise choices in life. But even when you don't, there's still hope.
Sin always has consequences. But the good news is that grace is greater than sin.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Speeding can get you a ticket. A felony could land you in jail. Today, Dr. Evans talks about the consequences of disobeying God's laws and where the whole idea of grace fits in. Let's join him as he takes us to Genesis chapter 3 for today's lesson.
All of us have seen no trespassing signs or places where barriers are erected at the threat of legal violation when we ignore the no trespassing signs or arbitrarily cross the boundaries. At the heart of the definition of sin, the concept of sin is to violate God's no trespassing sign. God has erected barriers around his holiness. And the sign says, no trespassing. Sin is a violation of the law of God. Just as when you see no trespassing signs with little markers under it, that you're subject to prosecution if you violate the no trespassing sign. God has said to Eve, to Adam, to us, the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. He makes it clear that if you eat what I told you don't eat, you have violated my law. Sin is the violation of God's law, and God's law is the reflection of God's character. In every sporting event you know, every sporting event you've ever watched, regardless of what it is, there are no trespassing signs. They're not called that. In sports, they're called a penalty or an infraction. You've broken a rule within the game. When a football player steps over the line, he's out of bounds. When a baseball player hits a long ball to the wrong side of the foul post, it's foul. When a basketball player steps on the line, he's out, or the free throw is not counted, because there has been a violation of a standing rule. Now, as much as you may hate the no trespassing signs in a sporting event, the reality is the sporting event loses its meaning without them. Keeping players and play on the field, keeping tennis players within the baselines, keeping football players within the sidelines and baseball players within the foul lines, are all designed to place limitations so that the game can be maximally enjoyed. Sin is to step over the line. It is to commit a penalty against God. You have to understand that God is a sterilized being. If you go to the hospital for an operation, you want your doctor to use sterilized equipment and to be in a sterilized environment because you do not want viruses and bacteria getting in the way of your health. Sin is a spiritual virus that has no place in a sterile environment, and that is the environment of God's holiness. One of the chief definitions of sin, it is that which is contrary to the holiness of God. And at the root concept of the word holy is the word separate. And at the root of the word separate is the concept that God and sin cannot inhabit the same environment. He is wholly separate. God sets up a boundary. From all the trees of the garden you may freely eat, but there is a foul line, a sideline, a baseline that you cannot cross. The tree in the middle of the garden, you cannot eat it, because to do so would violate my position as creator and your position as creature. You have crossed the line. Because of God's purity and holiness, God never gets used to filth. He never gets used to it. He never gets at home at it, in it. You and I may, he can't. Many of you are cleaning freaks. You don't want dirty dishes in the sink and dirty clothes thrown around the room. It is a violation of your definition of clean. This college had established a football team. They wanted a mascot, and they decided to get a goat. The question was, where are we going to keep the goat? And two of the students said, well, we'll keep the goat in our room. To which the head of the sports department said, you're going to keep the goat in your room? Said, yeah. Said, well, if you're going to keep the goat in your room, what about the smell? To which one of the students said, the goat will get used to it. The goat may get used to it. God doesn't. Sin is a violation, a transgression of the law of God. It is ignoring the no trespassing sign. Satan said, don't worry about the no trespassing sign. Don't let it bother you. And the reason why you don't have to worry about the no trespassing sign is nothing is going to happen. You will surely not die. Notice the certainty of Satan's statement. You're only going to not die. You will surely not die. Let me be definitive about this, the devil says. Nothing is going to happen. God has said, not only will something happen that you will surely die, he says, on the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. So not only will something happen, it won't wait to happen. It will happen at the moment of the infraction, death will occur. Death occurs the day the infraction occurs. God says consequences are certain. Satan says consequences are not. Now the question is, who are you going to believe? Now one might argue, as some perhaps are this morning, but on the day they ate, they did not die. It's many years later that they died. Well, that necessitates a discussion of death. Because if God said on the day you eat, you're going to die, something was supposed to die that day. And they didn't go to their graves for many, 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 many decades and centuries later. We have to understand what the Bible means by death. In the Bible, the word death, let me give you a synonym, means separation. Death means separation. So let's substitute the word separation. On the day you eat, you will be separated from me. An impregnable barrier will be erected that separates you from me. And since you only live because I give you life, when you are separated from me, you are separated from life. Regardless of whatever else you are doing. To die is not merely to go to the grave. That is only one form of death, physical death. In the Bible, to die is to be separated from the life of God. So it is possible to be a dead man walking. Death in the Bible means that you are alienated. A wall has been erected that separates you from experiencing divine life, divine presence, divine reality. Sin always erects a barrier that removes the participation of God's creation from God's life. However, because we do not define death in those terms, but limit it only to physical death, many of us are dead and don't even know it. It's bad enough to be dead and know you died. It's worse to be dead and not even know you comatose. Perhaps it would help us to better understand the correlation between sin and consequence by better understanding how you know if you're dead. Because it would be helpful to know that you died. Because if you know that you're dead, at least you know the real problem you're addressing. God said, on the day you eat, that is the very day you will die. So something should have happened that very day that indicate death has occurred that lets us know whether we are in fact living in a dead state, even though we are physically walking around. A close look at the passage, you will discover they died in a multiplicity of ways. First of all, they died spiritually. They died spiritually because verse 8 says, and when they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Previously, they were walking with God. Now they are running from God. That's the direction of a dead man. When you have to hide from your Creator rather than enjoy your Creator, it's because spiritual death has occurred in your life. When you're running from God and not running to God, and a wall and alienation has occurred that has kept you from being a full participant in the life of God, they died another way. Verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. Verse 10. And he said, I heard the sound of thee in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. Let's call that emotional death. They were now full of guilt, shame, and fear. They said, when we heard you, we had to hide from you because we were ashamed of our actions. And when we heard you coming, we got scared because we heard the voice of God coming our way. They were emotional wrecks because they had died emotionally.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with more on the consequences of sin and God's amazing gift of grace when he continues this lesson from his series, Six Lies of Satan, designed to teach you how to see through the devil's misinformation campaign by understanding the truths of Scripture. Remember, we're offering this six-part collection as a thank-you gift to anyone who can help keep Tony's teaching on this station with a contribution of any amount, large or small, but only until Friday. We don't want you to miss out, so contact us today about getting your copy of Six Lies of Satan. Details are waiting for you online at tonyevans.org or call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222, where team members are always available to help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. I'll have our contact information for you again after part two of today's lesson and this message.
Whether you're facing a decision or a dilemma, it's smart to ask, what would Jesus do? But first you have to know what Jesus did and what God has to say about the situations you face. Well, if building your biblical foundation is your goal, the help you need is as close as your computer or mobile device, thanks to the Tony Evans Training Center. It's packed with online courses covering core concepts of the faith and in-depth scripture studies you can work through any time you want, at any pace you want. Along the way, you'll explore key teachings and learn how to apply them in real-world situations. There's lots of exclusive content from Tony to keep you interested and motivated, and an online forum where you can ask questions, get answers, and collaborate with other students. It's almost like having a seminary on your smartphone. Check it out today, the Tony Evans Training Center, where you can explore the kingdom anywhere, anytime.
You know the great tragedy today? That we have not made the connection between our emotional crises and our spiritual death. We've not connected our depression to our death. We've not connected our living in fear to our death. We have not connected our guilt and our shame to our death. We think it's merely a psychological dilemma. When if it is rooted in sin, it is a consequence that has produced death. If you want to know whether you're living in life or living in death, check out your emotional well-being or lack thereof. They entered into emotional shambles. They were nervous wrecks. because they had become alienated from the life of God. When they were not alienated from the life of God, there was peace, and they were not ashamed, and they were naked, and they didn't have to worry about it. They didn't need to hide and cover and put on a face because they were alive. But when you're dead, you got to hide and cover and tremble. And that all happened that very day. Not only did they die spiritually and die emotionally, they died relationally. Verse 15, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed." Marital conflict, marital crisis. When Satan wanted to bring about this rebellion, he used a very interesting strategy that we have not noted till now, but now would be a good place to observe it. It says he went to the woman, and he has a conversation with Eve about what God says. He goes to Eve, and Eve takes on the role as the leader of the house and decision maker in the home and spiritual guide for the family. She becomes the spiritual head of the family, interacting on the word, interacting on spiritual matters, talking with the devil, and interacting on which way this family is going to go. Eve became the leader. Adam became the follower. Because as you'll see when we get to the sixth one, it says Eve ate the fruit and gave to her husband Adam, and Adam ate, and the text says, and Adam was with her. So Adam is sitting down listening to the snake rap to his wife, and he sits there in silence as this dude lays a heavy line on her. And sitting there in silence, he becomes the responder. Eve becomes the initiator. Roles are reversed and all hell breaks loose. Whenever a man gives up the legitimate biblical headship of his family, particularly spiritually, whenever a man no longer says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Whenever a man has to be told, "When are you going to pray?" Told, "When are you going to lead us in church?" Told, "When are you going to take us to the word?" Told, "Which way this family is going to go directionally?" And when a woman usurps that and takes that over, there is a flipping of divine roles, which automatically means a death in the relationship. It is an opportunity for the devil. No wonder Satan has become an expert in getting men to forsake their biblical roles, because he knows if he can get the man out and prop the woman up so that there is a shifting of roles, that he has created a doorway to get in, take over, and kill the home. And you thought you were fighting about different personalities. And you thought you were fighting about how we should raise the kids, or about the finances, all of that stuff. Those are extra stuff that wants to keep you away from the root issue. The root issue is that you're undergoing spiritual death at home. That's the root issue. And on that day, in fact, they had barely sinned, and Adam's first words were, "The woman who you gave me." I ain't asked for her. I was minding my business. I was happy with the animals, and you just come up here, made a woman. Now, that's not what he said when he first saw. When he first saw, he said, "Good googa mugga." When he first saw, he said, "She's a bad man, majama." When he first saw, he said, "This is it." But when sin entered in, the marriage died. Unless your marriage is addressed spiritually, it will never be ever addressed at all. Because their family died as a consequence to their spiritual rebellion. And whenever there is a death of the family, it is because the husband and or wife have rebelled against God in some way. They died economically, verse 17. To Adam, he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife," hello, "over me. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life." And you thought you were miserable at work just because you didn't like your supervisor. It says that the curse of the job was related to rebellion against God. It affected the work world, the economic world, and it affected it that day. The ground was cursed. So there's a lot more dying here than may initially meet the eye. They died directionally. Again, verse 7, the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig trees together and made themselves a loin covering. What tree did they eat of? They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In other words, they now had more information than they knew what to do with. Information hath cost them to lose their minds. It was spiritual rebellion that led to directional death. What do we do? Do we do this? Do we do that? Which one of these things do we do? We've got all this information, megabytes of data, and we still don't know which way to go. And then, of course, the seeds of death took over, and their bodies began to deteriorate, leading to ultimately physical death. No, the consequences are always there. You just may not have called them that because you didn't make the connection. Consequences are designed to make you very unhappy about that which made you feel so very, very good. It's an act of love by a caring father who wants to steer you in the right way. Repentance reverses God, either in bringing the judgment in the first place or taking the judgment that he has already rendered and using it for your development, even though it still may be painful. The prodigal son went to a far country. There's some folk here today in a far country. You're in emotional turmoil, relational turmoil, because you have wandered away from the Father. But the Bible says that one day he came to his senses. But we're told he came to his senses while in the pig pen. He had gone as low as a man could go. You don't get any lower than being a Jewish man hanging out with pork. Because sometimes God has to take you that low before you come to your senses. And it dawns on him. He said, I've been a fool. And he got sorry over his sin. Now, he didn't just say, I'm sorry, because the other part of repentance is return. It means you get up from where you are. And you begin the long journey back. It says when he was coming home, the father saw him. It says the father ran out to meet him. See, the father was looking down that road all day, all week, all month, all year, waiting for the prodigal to come home. If you're tired of the consequences or you don't want to see them, time to come home. Time to come home.
If you're ready to have the consequences of your sins forgiven once and for all, it starts by having a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. If you're not sure what that means, Tony would like to help you cut through the confusion by explaining it in clear, simple terms. Just visit TonyEvans.org, click on the menu at the top, and follow the link that says Jesus. You'll find everything you need to know, including some free resources to help you. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. As always, you can get the full-length version of today's lesson on CD or DVD or download it digitally. And don't forget, it comes as part of Tony's current teaching series, Six Lies of Satan. As I mentioned earlier, if you contact us by tomorrow, this six CD collection is yours as our gift when you make any contribution to help support Tony's ministry. Make the arrangements today before this time runs out. Call our Resource Center day or night at 1-800-800-3222. That's 1-800-800-3222. Or take care of it online at TonyEvans.org. No matter how talented, intelligent, or independent you are, you're no match for the one who created you. Tomorrow, Dr. Evans talks about how life reminds us of that fact and what can happen when we forget it. I hope you'll be with us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.